It's time for Twig. This week at Google, Gina and Jeff are here. We debut a brand new feature. We're going to do it every week. We call it the Google Changelog. What's new at Google? Coming up next on Twig.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for This Week in Google is provided by Cachefly. CacheFly.com. This is Twig. This Week in Google, episode 167, recorded October 10th, 2012. Pwned by Pinkie Pie. This Week at Google is brought to you by Ting.com. Ting is a new mobile phone service that makes sense. Save money with Ting. Pay only for what you use. You don't need a contract. There's no early termination fee. And you can get unlimited devices on one shared plan. To save $50 on your first Ting device, visit twig.ting.com. And by Ford. Ford invites tech geeks to join the conversation, submit ideas, and grab your tech geek badge at social.ford.com. And by Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it right from your desk. For our special offer, visit Stamps.com now. Click on the microphone and enter Twig. That's Stamps.com, offer code Twig. It's time for Twig, This Week in Google. The Google, the cloud, the universe, and everything. With Ms. Gina Trapani, star of stage and screen, the author of Think Up at thinkup.com, the founding editor at Lifehacker, and blogger at smarterware.org, and new mommy.
Sleep-deprived co-host. Hello.
In the reverse order. I did it. I buried the lead. New mommy, Gina Trapani. So latest baby news.
She's great. My mom is cuddling her right now. She's awesome. Yeah. She's finding her voice. She lets us know when she's hungry.
She was, 5 weeks premature? But
5 weeks early, and she's 3 weeks old now.
Okay.
She's just under 6 pounds. She's gaining weight. She's eating
fine.
Like a champ, which is awesome.
Oh, that's
good. She's really tiny and really fun.
Excellent. Dr. Mom says the best bibs are made of washcloths with neck holes cut in them.
Ooh.
That's straight out of the shtetl.
We're using cloth diapers as burp pads, but I know this is something all of our listeners wanted to know.
We got tired of cloth diapers really quickly because they kind of leak. But, I was trying to be ecological, and then Consumer Reports said, well, it's kind of moot because you got a truck driving around, blah, blah, blah. Right. We used them for a month and kept them for burp rags.
Yep.
And then went to paper.
Mm-hmm.
Just a thought.
This Week in Poop.
That's Jeff Jarvis. He is also a proud papa like me and City University of New York. Do you have a chair? Can I say the August Professor of Journalism?
No, I got to get somebody. You have to endow the Leo Laporte Chair in Journalism.
Oh, how much would that be? How many hundreds of dollars would I need to pony up?
It's a million and a half.
Ah, shoot. You know what, Jeff? If I ever have a spare million and a half,
okay,
I'm going to endow that. Then I could say, and with us now, the Leo Laporte Professor of Journalism. That would be funny.
Jeff, I'd like that.
Jeff Jarvis, good to have you. His book, Public Parts, is out now, and he's also the author of What Would Google Do? And blogs at buzzmachine.com. So Gina and Jeff conspired during the week. Gina had a very good idea. She said, of course, we cover more than Google here, but we really probably, Google is announcing new products every single week in great numbers, and we aren't able really to cover in depth every single one of them. So wouldn't it be a good idea to launch into the show each week with just kind of a rundown of new features that Google is offering?
Yeah, I mean, actually, this is Leon, one of our listeners, Leon, his idea. He wrote in and said, hey, there are changes to Google apps all the time, and you guys don't always get to them. You know, what's up with that? And I was like, oh, that's a good question.
We can't because there's literally half a dozen every week, and
it's
most
true.
Of them aren't that big a deal, but it's probably worth mentioning.
Yeah. So we thought we'd put together a little segment where we run down what the new stuff is out there.
Now, we need, ladies and gentlemen, we need to crowdsource a bumper. See, TNT does this. NSFW does it. Many of our other shows, most of them non-Leo shows, get bumpers. People don't give me bumpers. So if anybody wants to give us, like a great This Week in
Google stuff. We could do that. With timpanis, please.
That'd be nice.
Just send them along.
Yeah.
Send them to Chad at twit.tv. So, Twill has bumpers too? Huh? It has to have recorder music.
And timpanis.
And timpanis.
Boom, 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 boom.
MMXX in our chat room says, what? I'm confused. I don't. I am too.
Bumpers? What?
Lacking a da-da-da-da. And now new to Google. What should we call this?
Yeah, what should we call it? What's new? Change log? Release notes?
Change. Wow. Ooh, I like that.
Ooh, that's good. That's
a
good
programmer's point of view.
What do you call a lightning round?
Lightning round.
We'll save the lightning round because I use that sometimes when we have so much news that we have to quickly go through stories.
That's true.
So, okay. I like change log.
Change log is change good. Log? Yeah, that's good. I like that. That's a winner. Cool.
And now the Google change log featuring Gina Trapani. And just go ahead and list them, and we'll interject if we feel the need.
Yeah, interrupt me if you want. Got questions. Couple of changes to Gmail in the past couple of weeks. First one is Gmail now indexes attachments. So you can search inside attachments. If you've got messages with a PDF, PowerPoint file, Word document, other kind of common file formats, when you search for a keyword, it'll turn up messages with attachments that have those words. And if you're not using this already, this is one of my favorite Gmail shortcuts, has colon attachment will narrow your search to messages, the only messages that have attachments. So if you do has a colon attachment, and then you say, you know, Leo, it'll show you all the messages with Leo and the word, all the messages that have Leo inside the attachment attached to the message.
Very cool.
Another Gmail.
By the way, I will interject. Mm-hmm. I thought when I saw this, there'd be a hue and cry about privacy. Like, oh, Google's searching our attachments. Not a word.
No, well, I think we're, just, value. We're all used to it.
We're just, it's like, okay, so what else is new?
We're all used to it. Google's been looking at our email for years and targeting advertising.
Yeah, but the text, now they're looking into PDFs, doc files, PowerPoint presentations. That's kind of like.
And what do we say? Thank you, Google.
Yeah, I guess.
And Gmail's a postcard. You got to just consider that everyone can see into it on its way, you know?
So it's not like on demand. They're actually indexing it, all of it, as it comes in.
Yep. Yep, and this just rolled out, I think, a week and a half ago, so it might need some time to catch up, but yeah.
October 1st.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Gmail also added 100 virtual keyboards to its input tool. So if you write emails in lots of different languages, if you go into Settings, Language, you can click on, I think it's Enable Input Tools, and you'll get a button that lets you switch between different keyboards for different languages. Virtual keyboards, transliteration, and IMEs.
Be careful. So,
good multilingual, yeah. Be careful.
If you change everything to Russian, you may regret it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But once that's enabled, it's a one-click toggle. If you toggle between different languages, it requires different keyboards.
Cool.
Google Contacts got a cool new feature. It now syncs via CardDAV. CardDAV was new to me, but CardDAV is similar to CalDAV. It's an open protocol for syncing contacts. And this is pretty cool because iOS syncs contacts through CardDAV. So the way that the iOS syncs to iCloud and to Yahoo Contacts, interestingly, Google now supports that. So you can sync your Google Contacts inside your iOS device easily. YouTube just got added to Google Takeout. Google Takeout from our friend Brian Fitzpatrick and the Data Liberation Front. You go into Google Takeout, you can now download all the YouTube videos you've ever posted to YouTube. As it's just a giant zip file, they're MP4 files, uncompressed. So if you want to download your archive of YouTube files, if you had a hard drive crash or you just want to make sure you have a backup of your data, you can do that now in Google Takeout. Google TV getting an update in the coming weeks. Google Play, movies, TV shows, and music coming to Google TV. So TV shows, movies, music that you rent or purchase on any device, you can now play on Google TV. And it'll also be hooked into their movie and TVs app, movies and TV app, where they make recommendations. If you're watching something, you can purchase it on Google Play.
I've been playing with Google Play a lot because I'm trying to make the entire switch over to my Android devices and my tablet. And I got to say, the movies are just, you know, 15% tackier in Google Play.
Yeah, it doesn't have a great selection yet. They got to work on this.
No, it doesn't.
They're trying to get it, you know, to as many devices as possible. And the other Google Play news is that Google Play will let you sample in-app purchases before you buy. So if you're a developer and you make an app that has in-app purchases, you can set a free trial. You can say, let users sample this for 7 days. I believe it's up to 7 days in order to let your users try stuff out. So a developer has to set that, and that's new now. So we probably won't see it roll out to apps maybe in the next few weeks. That's all I got.
Cool.
That was great, Gina.
That's a lot.
Like real value, real information, real news.
So you'd use CardDev on iOS instead of using Exchange, but it only does contacts.
Right.
So you still need to use Exchange for mail and calendar.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And I'm not sure if there's advantages to using CalDev. Oh, wait a minute. You can use CardDev. There's a CalDev, too. Does it have a CalDev server?
I think that's separate.
No.
You'd set it up separately. I mean, what's
yeah, cool about- actually, Google Calendar does have CalDev.
Yeah, Google Calendar does have CalDev, right?
Okay,
that way. Right now in iOS, when you set up a CardDev contact sync, they list iCloud and Yahoo as options. So right now you have to tap on other to set up your Google account, but I'm sure.
You have to dig through it.
That Apple will say, you know, Google.
I wonder if there's an advantage to using that instead of Exchange. Because right now you can use Exchange and do all three with one account entry.
Right. That's a good question. Because, I have that set up right now.
Yeah, that's how we're doing it now. You just use m.google.com as the Exchange server.
Right.
I mean, that's one disadvantage of application-specific passwords. I'd have to generate two new application-specific passwords.
Using Exchange and then CardDev as
Good.
You know what? It just occurs to me as Gina does that it goes to Google's strength of services. You know, I can't imagine us having a similar rundown of what's new at Twitter or Facebook. You know, we'll just complain about those things. Or these are, you know, new little gifts from Google.
From the Google.
Yeah, I mean, every week when I pick up my tip, I always go through these little product updates and I kind of, you know, push
them aside. Yeah.
Over the other one. So I'm glad we'll have a chance to go through them. So I don't know, maybe we won't have as many every week, but this week there was a lot of little feature updates. So.
We'll get to the Google news, and we have also picks and tips, and Jeff has a number of the week that's all coming up on This Week in Google, Jeff and Gina and me. But first, a word from Ting. The folks at Two Cows have an interesting philosophy. They are looking at industries that don't work, and they want to reinvent them and make them work. Now, they already did that with domain name registration. That's hover.com. We've talked about that before. Now they're doing it to the cell phone companies. Boy, if ever there were a business that could be reinvented and fixed, it's the cell phone. I want you to visit twig.ting.com. I love this. You love your Netcast. How about your phone company? Nobody loves their phone company. Well, with Ting, it's a no BS mobile service. That's my phrase, not theirs. They're an MVNO for Sprint. That means if Sprint is a good provider in your area, you get good signal, then you should absolutely look at Ting. For one thing, there's no contract. It's month to month. There's no early termination fee. So none of that extra, you know, upsell stuff. They don't bundle or ride along. You just basically, if you go to Ting, look at the plans. These are like serving suggestions. Pick the plans you want just to get an idea of what it might cost you. So you pay for $6 per device per month. So you can have 10 phones, 5 phones, 1 phone, $6 per. So let's say I've got a family of 4 phones. Together, the four of us will use 1,000 minutes, 1,000 text messages, and let's say 2 gigabytes. Total of that would be $89 for all four of us a month. $89. That's already, you know, a third of what I'm paying Verizon or Sprint or AT&T. But now here's the beauty part. You don't use all of that, they rebate it to you. You use more, they charge you at the same scale. There's no penalty. There's no overcharge penalty. You get credits on service you don't use. You never pay more than you need for more than you use. And they throw in voicemail, picture and video messaging, three-way calling, caller ID, tethering, and hotspot free. So there's no, you know, additional charge for hotspotting, no additional charge for tethering. You're using the data plan that you choose. And again, if you use more, they'll charge you more, but at the same rate. So there's no mysterious line items on your bill. There are no hidden charges, recovery fees, no BS. That's what they say. Unlimited devices on one plan, too. And each device costs a flat $6. You share pooled minutes, messages, and gigabytes. You've got a great online control panel so you can see exactly what you're using. No hold customer support, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern. A real person will pick up the phone and will work through your problem at 855-TING-FTW. Ting for the win. They also have a lot of great support at help.ting.com, including very active customer forums. In fact, all you have to do is search Twitter for the hashtag Ting, and you'll see a bunch of very happy Ting customers. So you do this all online. You'll purchase your device from Ting. You'll get it in 2 to 5 business days. You'll activate the device. You have the option. And by the way, they have a great selection of Android phones. Let's go look at the device section. You select the plan you want. Ting will bill you at the beginning of your payment period, but you'll be charged or credited in the following pay period based on what actually happened. They've got the Galaxy S3. That's my phone of choice. Soon getting newer phones. They do have simple feature phones, too. This is actually a good idea for somebody like a kid or a grandparent who just needs a simple phone for emergency purposes. And I'm going to show you I could save $50 on that device. They also have data devices, which is nice, and even femto cells. So go to twig.ting.com right now, and you're going to save $50 on your first device when you sign up. Check out the savings calculator if you just want to see how much you will save with Ting. Twig.ting.com. Let's reinvent the mobile phone business. Boy, if there were ever a business that could be improved.
Next, Leo, can I fly Ting Air, please?
Yes, Two Cows Air. Let's talk to Elliot Noss.
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely.
If two cows could fly,
it'd be Two Cows Air. You know, that actually would be a good name for an airline.
It would be.
The Flying Cow. I'm taking the Flying Cow to Seattle tonight. Ting. There's a lot of business that I'd like to get Elliot Noss into. So here's the big story. Broke earlier today. Microsoft's denying it. But it happened in the Czech Republic. Microsoft says that this is a Czech subsidiary of Microsoft. But Peter Bobek, who is a product manager at Microsoft Czech Republic, says that native apps for Microsoft Office will be available for Android and iOS in March. Now, the Microsoft response to this was, the information shared by our Czech subsidiary is not accurate. We do not have anything further to share at this time. So that could be April, could be February.
Yeah.
Right?
I give a conditional cheer.
Yeah. Everything I know about Microsoft and everything we've talked about Windows Weekly is that absolutely, Microsoft's even said that we will have Office on Macintosh, Android, and Windows phones. It's too big a market for them to ignore. And the rumors for Office for the iPad have been flying for months, and it's pretty much accepted. I'll ask on Windows Weekly tomorrow. I'll ask Mary Jo Foley. She's got very good sources. But I would guess this was an accidental leak of a true story.
I can't wait, because I've tried most of the alternatives. What do you guys use for Office docs on Android
News is on iOS there's some good choices, the Apple stuff, and I use those, but I don't on Android, I haven't found anything good. There's Google Docs, is it, and even that's not very good. What do you use?
I mean, Gina? I honestly, now that I'm not writing a book anymore, my editor's not requiring that I use Word, I just don't use Office docs as much anymore. I just stick to text files as much as possible, which I know is not a choice that most people have. I use Google Docs for most of my Office stuff right now. Ooh.
I don't find myself creating documents much on a phone or even a tablet.
Yeah, me neither.
I'm using the tablet and the keyboard now. I'm traveling without a laptop now.
Wow.
Oh, good for you.
Well, I think that's the reason. I think there's more and more people doing that, and that's the reason they need to do this. And even if it's just to look at a spreadsheet or to deliver PowerPoint, you don't have to be creating stuff. You could be consuming it, too.
Yeah, the problem is I use, I guess it's called Smart Office 2, I think.
Yeah.
Which is okay. It's fine. But it has, irritating things, like maybe it's just my stupidity. But I was reading a manuscript to a wonderful book coming out. And, you know, I'd get through to page 80, and then if it closed, I got to open it up and I got to scroll through to page 80 again. It's that kind of stuff. It's just not ready for prime time.
Oh, yuck. Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. It's like, you know, I don't use full-on office tools anymore unless I have to make a really beautiful formatted document. I'm doing that so little. I mean, otherwise Google Docs just kind of, you know, works and it's easy and it's in every browser. I mean, not to be a commercial for Google Docs, but I saw this and it was like, yeah, this makes a lot of sense for Microsoft. This is a huge market for them. But, you know, I have to suppress a very cliched, snarky joke about, you know, fitting the ribbon toolbar on the iPad. You know, I mean, like, am I really going to be doing like heavy, I don't know, document work on the iPad? I don't know. I mean, maybe with a keyboard.
I wonder what the business, since we're in rife speculation mode, which is what we do. I wonder what the business model would be if it's a purchase of the app or if it's trying to drive you to their cloud as a service.
Yeah, SkyDrive, right?
Yeah.
Get you hooked into SkyDrive, or is that the Office? I think that's the Office syncing.
I think that's the one, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
SkyDrive. Yeah. Well, and Microsoft's really moving to the cloud. Their Office 365 is actually a pretty good version of Microsoft Office. It's going to be built into Office 2013. And they're doing tablets. They're doing Surface. So, you know, they could, if they were competitive, I guess, they could ignore iOS and Android and say, look, if you want a really good Office solution, just use our stuff. But I think they're going to do it.
And they've always worked across various platforms.
It's a big market. They make a ton of money.
I've never understood why they killed IE for Mac.
Because it was horrendous.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Maybe that's why. That was never a good app, truthfully.
No, that's true.
I wonder what the pricing is going to be like for it. You know, like, will it be you have to have a license to the desktop in order to have the mobile app? Or is it just going to be, you know, is it a $15 mobile app? Is it going to be a $30 mobile app? Is it $5? You know, curious.
It forces all that, doesn't it? Because it's not, you're just not buying the package anymore. It gives you access to your docs. So God knows what it'll be.
The Mary Jo Foley, our host of Windows Weekly, tweeted earlier, according to Gardner in our chat room, I still think Office is coming to iOS, Android, and other non-Microsoft platforms, but maybe not as a local client, or maybe not in March. Mm. So if it's not a local client, it could be a web-based solution, but then it would be a lot like Google Docs, you know, with the same kind of problems.
And then you've got problems in terms of whether or not you can work offline.
Yeah, what happens when you get in an airplane?
Yeah, which is a problem.
I think you know, you can't charge too much on tablets for apps, right?
No.
I don't know. You can't charge more than $50. You probably shouldn't charge more than $10. That's what Apple charges for its Office apps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you could also use it as an entry drug, a gateway drug to the big Office.
Well, not only an entry and gateway, you're right, but also a defense against the people who just say, oh, what the heck, let's just use Google Docs.
Well, everything Microsoft's done right now is in response to Google Docs. It's pretty clear that they're threatened by it. So, yeah, I think that's why everybody agrees. Google is pushing for tablet optimized apps, which is nice.
At last.
Finally. You know, I think their Nexus 7, they haven't released numbers, have they? But it's got to be a success. It's got to be big.
It's certainly a product success.
I've been
repeating again and again. It's supposed to come out with a new version today. It will finally give you landscape, including the home screen.
New version of Jelly Bean?
Oh, I like that.
Yes. They're going to push it out for the Nexus 7 today. But
that's a hard thing to do. Honeycomb did that, right, Gina? And it was ugly.
It did. Was it ugly?
Yeah, because it took a while. It was almost like the icons were loose inside and they had to kind of slide over and it just took a long time. It was kind of ugly. And I can see why they said, you know, let's get this right before we do that again.
Right. I mean, the Nexus 7 is small enough that you're holding it in portrait. You sort of naturally hold it portrait mode, right? Like Honeycomb came out on the bigger tablets. This story about Google encouraging developers to tabletize their apps kind of, I think, goes hand in hand with the next one, which is that they are to co-brand a 10-inch Nexus with Samsung, right?
Yeah.
So this is the thing. Like, I have a lot of developer guilt. I have guilt because, well, I'm Catholic, right? So I have that guilt. But so I'm easily guilted. But I have a lot of guilt about I haven't tablet optimized To Do Text, which is my app, yet. Mostly because, you know, there weren't a lot of users on a tablet. And then when the Nexus 7 came out, you know, the screen is small enough. You know, my app is a to-do list app, so it's just a list view. It looks okay enough. You know, it doesn't look absolutely horrendous. There isn't so much white space. Like, to-do text on the iPad looks obviously not optimized, you know? So I felt like I've kind of squeaked by. I mean, I'm also, you know, not running a business. It's just a weekend project. So I kind of been taking my time, but once a 10 inch comes out, you know, that gets, if a 10 inch Nexus comes out, that's as popular as the Nexus 7, I'm going to feel much more compelled to optimize my app for the tablet. Cause the bigger screen just calls for it. And you just don't want to have your app having these big, you know, gaping wide white spaces and, you know, crying out for the sidebar and the split view. So Google's guilting me. I'm going to have to get down to it and make a tablet optimized.
Can you tell as a developer how many of your customers are using Nexus 7s?
Yes, I believe so. I think in the developer console you can. You can see a version of Android and device as well.
Well, let's hear it.
Looking up right now.
I'm really curious about all of that. I mean, how many people are using Gingerbread? How many people are using Honeycomb, Jelly Bean? How many people are using tablets versus phones? I would guess the vast majority are probably on Ice Cream Sandwich on phones, I would guess. And your users are advanced, are going to be more sophisticated Android users.
Yeah. I have I definitely got the power user.
I bet the Nexus is the number one phone, then the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm. This is just active installs on October 9th. So that was yesterday. Well, that's interesting. 9%. That seems really high.
9% Nexus 7?
Nexus 7, yeah.
You better get going, Gina.
I guess I got work to do.
9%.
I have a really kind of savvy, smart, geeky.
Yeah.
Geeky.
How many are Amazon platforms, does it say?
Nexus. Well, so I'm looking at the Google developer.
It's Play Store, yeah.
So Play Store. So the Play Store doesn't tell me, you know, who's
on
Kindle.
Right, right, right. Da, da, da. Yes, of course. Right.
Are you on the Amazon store?
I am in the Amazon store, and judging from sales, not very many. Yeah. Not very many Kindle.
See, we've got an inside source here, Jeff.
Well, you know, my app, like I said, is super. It's super nerdy. It's super power user nerdy. I've got a lot of people using the Galaxy Nexus here. I mean, these are users with the most recent Android phones, and these are nerds and developers like me. So I'm a little skewed. I don't think I'm very representative of regular Android users. But yeah, I guess I got some work to do.
So when you do so, Android automatically kind of, you know, you could say fill the screen, but you're saying it doesn't look as good as if you kind of are intelligent about using the space.
Yeah, exactly. So Android, everything is a relative layout. It's like much like making a web page, right? So you make a web page, if you expand the width and the height of the screen, it just kind of fills it. And to tablet optimize, you would say beyond a certain point, you know, you can add more buttons on the top, you know, say that the action bar, you can show a split view layout where it's like, here's my list and maybe here are my, you know, categories on the other side.
Do you query device? Or screen resolution, and then change your output based on that?
You actually define your layouts using XML, which is sort of a markup language. But Android kind of handles it all for you. So it's not like the old JavaScript where you're like, if I'm using IE, you're not hard coding like particular device names or anything like that. Android kind of handles that all for you. There's different resolutions. There's the maximum resolution, medium, small, and then there's screen size. You define your layouts, and then Android kind of just fluidly figures out what layout should I use given the orientation that the device is in and the screen size. But you do have to define the layouts given you know, the different options.
Okay, well,
do you have to change things, Gina, for the iPhone 5 with the extra row now?
Yeah, for the iPhone 5, you know, I had to provide high resolution art for the Retina display. And when you launch an iPhone app, the first image that you see is actually an image, like
picture. It's a bitmap.
It's a bitmap.
JPEG.
Mentions, exactly. So because the iPhone 5 is taller, every app developer, in order to optimize for iPhone 5, had to provide a new launch image that fits.
Jeez.
You know, and if you're a game that has lots of assets and lots of backgrounds and things like that, you had to provide all that as well. So,
and you have to bundle both in the app, right? The app doesn't download different versions for the different phones. It's all got to be in there.
It's all got to be in there.
So
right?
Games with a lot of graphics and textures, it's going to double the size of the game.
Exactly. Yeah, you have to provide art for the iPhone 5, the iPhone 4, Retina, non-Retina, iPad, iPad 2, Retina. I mean, there's several options.
Well, I guess we won't hear Apple use the word fragmentation again for a while. It came around to bite them in the butt. So now, just as this is the rumor about this 10-inch tablet, this comes from NPD's analyst Richard Shim. He says, "Get ready because it'll be a 2560 by 1600 display." According to him, that's a pixels per inch of 299. That's better than the Retina iPad by about 10%. And he says it'll be a more expensive. Interesting what? That they're doing with Samsung, not Asus, who did the Nexus 7 for them.
I think they're trying to spread the wealth. We have another story here is that LG is going to have a Nexus phone. I also think we hear a lot of reports about how they're going to make, I think we talked about this before, Nexus a certified Google use that will get advantages versus just plain Android now.
So that makes sense because they can control Nexus in a way that can absolutely
it'd be,
can't
It'd be great if they Android. Did, and you know you're going to get updates and that kind of stuff.
So... are we surprised that Motorola doesn't? I mean, they own Motorola. I guess they're trying. They just that's what they're trying to do is make sure that people understand we're not going to give Motorola any advantage. In fact,
well, it's worse because Motorola screwed up, and I don't fully understand the story. So I'm hoping one of you will explain it to me. That Motorola backed off on doing updates on some of its phones and really pissed off a lot of users.
It's so confusing because Motorola, if you didn't know that Google owned Motorola,
right,
you would think, oh, man, that's got to be the worst Android company.
Under Android, Leo. Android users outraged over Motorola's broken promise.
Yeah, I see it. So, you know... I never thought the Droid was really a good example of Android, and I would have thought that the next Nexus phone, at least, would be a Motorola. The Photon 4G, which was a very high-end Android phone because it had dual core, one of the first to have dual core a year ago, is not going to get updated. Last Friday, the company said... we are never going to update the Photon. Wow.
Yeah.
The Atrix, which was announced at CES, which, you know, very high end. No update. I don't know. Are they gingerbread? I guess they
are. Yeah, they're stuck on gingerbread.
That's
And horrible. this is after Motorola joined the Open Handset Alliance.
They promised it.
That promised, yeah. And so there's three phones. There's the
Photon,
the Atrix, let me find
it. And the Electrify.
Right.
Which no one has.
Right. Well, no one has any of these, but that's beside the point. And they're offering what, a coupon or something, right?
I think what they should do is offer free routing so you could put Clockwork Mod and CM10 on it. That's what I think they should offer.
I want to see that sign at Verizon store.
Bring it in, we'll root it for you. I mean, isn't that what? If you're a sophisticated user, you go, whatever. I'll put CM. But I did have CM10 running on my Galaxy S3, but Wi-Fi is still kind of funky. That's the problem when you put these mods on.
That's the problem.
Often one thing doesn't work as well because it's a driver issue. It's like when Linux first came out. You know, you say, your webcam's not going to work, but everything else will work fine. So I guess, you know, maybe there won't be drivers either. I don't know. I think they're still, in some cases, Motorola is still locking the bootloader. Is that right, Jason? Howell is one of our hosts on All About Android. Does Motorola lock any of their bootloaders, Jason? Do you know off the top of your head?
He says he doesn't know the answer.
He doesn't know, yeah.
Officially locked. I would guess that they probably are.
Because you'd think with Google owning them, they would just say, well, you know, please, these are more rootable.
You know, especially considering Motorola, you know, any of their unlocked bootloader devices that they've been doing lately have been like special developer editions.
Right.
So they haven't necessarily been the most... kind of open to unlocking the bootloader in the past anyways. I'd really be surprised if these were unlocked.
Motorola posts, this is in August, Android bootloader unlock page, but only for the Photon. So all the rest of them are locked. That means you can't root them and you can't, well, you can, but it's harder. I would never say can't do anything. But they did. They did give you four steps to unlock your device if you had a Photon Q. I think that's Verizon. You got to blame Verizon for that. Google, and but what? So what you're really seeing is Google, unlike Microsoft, being very careful not to piss off its OEMs. They're not exactly OEMs because it doesn't own Android, but well, for want of a better word. And you know, to keep the partners all happy, we're going to spread it out the wealth, and we're not going to make Motorola be any less rapacious than they were before we bought them.
We're actually going to make Motorola worse.
We're going to make them worse, just so you feel better. See? Motorola still sucks. Just in case you were worried.
That's to prove we're not favored. There's no favoritism here.
Wow. LG is going to unveil, it's according to CNET, it's Nexus, the new Nexus, at the end of the month. It'll be the Optimus G. I haven't had an LG phone in a while.
No.
Yeah, wow, me neither.
Yeah.
But I get excited about new Nexus releases.
I like that. We're kind of due, aren't we? I mean, the Nexus was good, but it's no longer the top of the line.
No, yeah. I'm a little jealous of your Galaxy 3, but the Nexus is still a good phone.
Well, I'm getting the Note. I bought the Note. I bought it unlocked from Expansys, the European version. Don't, please, whatever you do, don't ever tell me how much 545 pounds is in real money.
Ooh.
Oof.
I don't want to know.
Yikes.
Oof.
I did it for you.
I'm Googling the conversion.
It's only 16. It's only 16 gigs, but I couldn't bring myself to spend more than that.
I just spoke with a whole bunch of Korean editors and publishers yesterday here at CUNY. I told them my one disappointment in visiting their country was I couldn't get a good price on the Note.
Yeah, the Note 2. It looks pretty nice. It looks like a Galaxy S3, but it's actually a little thinner than the old Note. And a little narrower, but a little taller, I think.
Right. If you were me and you carried a Nexus phone and a Nexus 7 tablet, would the
you don't
Note
need
replace
it. No,
both?
You got the one of each.
Well, would the Note replace both?
Oh, would it replace both? Yeah.
Yeah. Would you just carry a Note instead of carrying a tablet?
Yeah. Well, I don't carry. You know why I don't carry the Nexus 7? Because it's Wi-Fi only. It's kind of inconvenient. So it's $872.33.
I didn't want to say it.
Oh Lord. Well, the good news is I'll have it by the next week.
iPhone 5 costs unlocked.
Yeah.
Good point. So.
I just feel like it's my duty, in order to get it quicker. I'm sorry, it's only 529 pounds. In order to get it quicker, but then I bought a lot of other stuff. I had to get the white one because the titanium's not in stock yet. So I wanted a different
Gina, color. Gina, this is where you and I say, oh, yes, boss, you have to do this, and we're grateful you did so you make him feel better.
No, that's my job.
Yeah, seriously. I think this was definitely your duty as
yes, it was. Yes, it was. You should feel fine.
Yes.
And I'll show you next week.
Cool.
We're eager to see it.
Yeah, well, people, you know, it's out in people's hands. There's the Android Authority's review of it. And one of the things they're saying is that the battery life is really kind of remarkable. Like,
really?
More like
Will
the Droid.
4G?
No. Oh. That was what I was going to wait for, is the 4G LTE version from Verizon. And then I got mad at Verizon. Turns out I shouldn't have, because AT&T is worse. But it was too late. I've already pushed the button.
The thing I didn't know with my Galaxy Nexus is it's the worldwide version. You cannot buy accessories or anything for it. The battery of it versus the CDMA Verizon is a different shape.
Right.
Thus, rechargers, plus everything else.
Yes. I could have told you that.
Oh, wow. That's annoying.
They're all different. It's all like as if they were just trying to screw with you.
Yeah.
Wait, the charger connector is different?
No.
No, the battery
size. The battery size is different.
The battery size is
different. So you have to get a different external charger.
Okay. Oh, I see. Okay.
I do that for every phone I buy.
You just buy an external.
I buy two extra batteries and an external charger.
But I couldn't even buy an extra OEM battery for the Nexus phone. I had to buy an off-brand and an off-brand charger.
Right. They're a lot cheaper.
Yeah, that was good.
But you lose NFC because the NFC chip.
Exactly.
Samsung's getting smart. The NFC chip's in the battery. So the Optimus G, but they say that other handset manufacturers may also do Nexus. Ooh, look at that back. It looks like the Matrix.
We really got so there's three levels of Android then, right? Four levels.
Okay.
There's the highest is Nexus.
Nexus.
So we get updated and stuff like that. The next is, I guess, Open Handset, right?
OHA.
The next is Amazon, we screwed with you.
But we didn't pretend to be OHA.
Right. And then the next is
Chinese company.
$20 tablets from Chinese companies.
Yeah.
Right.
Chinese company. We're...
takes advantage of it.
We've put some special software in here just for you. That's tied to the story about Huawei and XTE, which are both Chinese companies with apparently rumored ties to the Chinese military. The Congress Committee on Monday said, we're not going to let government employees buy these. Canada just announced, we're not going to let government employees buy these phones. Because the real concern is that... They might have some special spy stuff.
Not just by the phones, but also Huawei.
Any of the products.
Buys a lot of back-end stuff.
Yeah.
The fear is that it was going to be open doors into our phone system.
Right. Well, not just... And it was funny because they weren't... It didn't sound like they were worried about cyber warfare or terrorism. They're worried about them stealing intellectual property from U.S. companies, listening in on the big meeting and saying, oh, Apple's going to do a mini iPad. Quick! To the drawing board! Chinese company Oppo. I have an Oppo Blu-ray player. It's quite good.
You would.
You know what? It's a video file Blu-ray. It's considered to be one of the best Blu-rays out there. I didn't know they were a Chinese company. I thought they were Finnish with a name like Oppo. They are making the world's first 1080p smartphone, a 5-inch screen. Get ready for this, 441 pixels per inch.
Battery life, 37 seconds.
Yeah, no kidding. Oppo. I like Oppo. 6.65 millimeters thick. That was their phone earlier. That was the world's thinnest smartphone. How thick is the Apple iPhone 5? The Oppo Find, they call it the Find. The Find 5. 5-inch 1080p screen, beating Apple's iPhone quite handily, which the iPhone's Retina is 326 ppi. This will be 441. The Lumia 331, Lumia 920, this will be 441. But HTC is rumored to be doing a 1080p as well. Good Lord. These things are amazing.
They are.
Now it's just the numbers. Now it's just people trying to... Hey, we got more pixels. I don't know if we need them. In fact, that's one of the wraps on the Galaxy Note 2. It actually has a lower pixel density. It's 1280 by 720 instead of 1280 by 800.
It's a good holiday season.
Yeah, what?
It's going to be a good holiday season.
Yeah.
Gadget-wise.
There's also a 4-inch Galaxy S3 coming
out. Yeah. So Samsung, we talked about this on MacBreak Weekly yesterday. It's Samsung's, Apple's philosophy is to make one perfect thing. One size fits all. You get this.
You will love it.
Or nothing. Any size you want as long as it's this. Samsung is doing kind of the opposite, which is to try to find, to make one for every possible user. So if you want a 4-inch, they got a 4-inch. You want a 5.5-inch, they got a 5.5-inch. And everything in between. It seems to be working.
My wife looks at my phone and says it's too big.
Which one do you? Oh, the Galaxy. You have a Nexus.
Galaxy Nexus, yeah.
And that's 4.3, I think. Yeah. So it's not even that big.
What is an iPhone now?
4.
You're trying to speak. Is it
it's 4, but it's a 16 by 9 4. So it's 1136 by 640. It's a unique and size that no one else does.
Right.
Special snowflake.
It's a very unique, special snowflake. I want to put a little headband with a bow on it. I just can't decide if it's a boy or a girl. You know what? My daughter said the best thing to me in the world yesterday. She said, you ever hear of this comic strip called XKCD? I said,
Oh, that's, see, I want to hear that from my kid really soon.
That's a she went through Garfield, Bloom County. I was happy about Bloom County. But when she said, yeah, I've read every strip they ever published last night.
Oh, that's good. That's good taste.
Isn't that good taste?
High five, Abby.
Yeah. XKCD. Yeah, I've heard of them. I should have told her about the oatmeal. Yeah, I should have told her about the oatmeal. By the way, that oatmeal campaign to get the Tesla house is working pretty well, huh?
He apparently has bought it.
He raised a significant amount more.
1.4, I think.
Holy cow.
The real estate agent for one side or the other says that, yeah, they have an agreement in terms. And so the Tesla Museum will come.
Well,
it's pretty cool.
They own the land.
But it has more money than that.
Do they raise so much money that they're able to actually build a museum?
Well, it's not a question of build. I think it's a question of get the rats out of what is there.
The land, laboratory, and foundation underneath the tower are still there.
Yep.
And so he's bought the property. The property cost $1.6 million, but there was a matching grant. So he only needed to raise $850,000.
And I think, didn't he raise 1.4?
Yeah. So there's a nice, hefty little chunk for the museum.
Yeah.
It's great.
There is no Tesla museum in the United States, but now there is. And that was Indiegogo.
Because he did that amazing Tesla comic, he had done like an homage to Tesla a few weeks ago, and then this campaign. And I love that comic. And I mean, it kind of, you know, Edison didn't look too good at the end of the comic, but I don't know if he saw it.
No, he shouldn't. Yeah, he killed an elephant.
But yeah, it's incredible. It's incredible. It's just like, it's not just about, you know, it wasn't just nerd love for Tesla. I mean, it was like he, you know, sort of brought out the nerd love for Tesla and then said, here's something that you can do. It was incredibly successful.
They raised $1,370,511 on Indiegogo. Let's build a goddamn Tesla museum. good for the oatmeal. All right, we're going to take a break. Come back with more. Gina Trapani is here. Mama Gina. Mama Gina.
The Mama G.
I think you have to teach Etta how to eat meatballs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Nona's working on it.
Sunday gravy. Exactly. Oh, yeah. This is the thing. You got to decide what to call. But I guess because there were previous grandchildren, you don't have to decide what to call her. That's already a given, right?
Right, yeah.
What is she, Nona?
Nona. Aww. Yep. Yeah.
My grandma, I don't know why, was Nani.
I mean, oh, okay.
Maybe because I couldn't say Nona. I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah, that's nice.
I was the first grandchild, so I got to choose.
Aw.
I choose Nani.
Oh, I have this vision. You have a little baby Leo with the same Leo head.
Yeah. The head was always this big. It was like a little stalk.
I sort of imagine that your bottle is shaped like the microphone, though. You know, like I can't see the microphone. Always broadcasting.
Oh, you know what? There's a picture, and I don't have it. I wish I did, of me probably at the age of 3 with a turntable and talking into a pot.
Oh, geez.
Oh, that's great.
So I think that when you get in a nature-nurture debate, and you will see this, Gina, there's definitely some nurture, but they come out ready to do something.
Ready to do something?
Yeah, come out a certain way. Right? Right, Jeff? I'm not wrong on this.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't have a whole hell of a lot to do with it.
Hopefully my girl will really like Legos and coding. I don't know. We'll see.
God, I hope so.
You got to go with the flow.
She might want to be a princess, and I'd be okay with that, too.
She will be whatever annoys you the most.
She will be whatever.
So I think we know what she's going to be, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh. Barbie. Yeah.
Like, let's go to the Maker Faire. Drop the Barbies. No, let's go to the Maker Faire. Oh, let's solder.
Stuff, Mom. I don't want to go to the Maker Faire.
Oh, here's my best vision. That she wants to, little Etta wants to join in those pageants where you have to, you know, get dressed up.
Oh, no.
Right.
No.
And then it's street. No. It's and Mommy, you can't keep me from my life's dream.
This is my dream. They do that to you. I got to tell you. I got to warn you.
I'm going to save her the time that I can dress her.
Oh, it is so much fun, isn't it?
It's a lot of fun. It's really a lot of fun. Oh. I can't wait. Whatever she wants to do, I will support her. I will certainly encourage her in with the things that I'm interested in. But if pageants is what she wants, then we'll have a discussion.
Ooh. Ooh, okay. This is on tape, Etta.
Wow.
I know.
She's
not allowed to watch the show until she's 13.
That's what you say. Whatever makes you happy, dear. I just want you to be happy. Isn't that what your mom told you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Let me note that today is my daughter Julia's 16th birthday.
Oh, there's a good birthday.
Happy birthday. That's a huge birthday.
Happy birthday. And, of course, sweet 16 and never been kissed.
We hope not.
Okay, one more thing. This is not going to turn into the baby show, I just want to say. But one more thing. Abby's first kiss, Joe Montana's son, Nicholas.
Whoa.
Oh, that's good.
I had dreams. We were going to have a football dynasty. I was ready. And then they broke up like a month later. I was so pissed off.
That's a good first kiss, though. That's a good story.
It's a good first kiss.
Good for her.
I don't think she was 16. Our show brought to you today, Father's Heart Broken. The show brought to you today by... So I buried my tears in my Mustang. Like every good father. Yeah, that 2010 Mustang GT 5.0, that helped a lot. And if you're a Mustang or a Ford lover, you're a Ford family, Ford owner, you got to visit social.ford.com if you're an aspiring Ford owner too. You can read about Ford, articles on all sorts of subjects. Here's an homage to Carroll Shelby, who built those amazing Shelby GTs and Ford and Shelby Mustangs. Here's an interesting conversation on how to get better fuel economy with your hybrid. Great, great articles. Social.ford.com. I wrote one on, I interviewed one of Ford's top technologists. I'm probably going to do the same at CES this year. And I wrote an article about their API and what their plans are for autonomous vehicles. Because that's the stuff I'm always interested in. Here's what you can do. You visit social.ford.com, read those articles. You could share your story. There's lots of stories about Ford owners. It's just so cute. I mean, people really love their cars. Ideas, too. This is kind of a 21st century suggestion box. Listen to this one. William B. says, replace the windshield with a 4K LED backlit flat panel HD display. Night vision capability. And then the vehicle exterior, just kind of a sheet metal covering where the windshield would be. You like that idea? Go there and vote. And whatever you do, make sure you grab your badge to show your Ford love, including the Tech Geek badge. You're not just ahead of the curve. You're the one leading it. Social.ford.com. And find out about the new 2013 Fusions just coming out right now, including the Fusion Energy Plug-in Hybrid. That's the one I'm getting. I might actually trade my Ford Mustang in for it. Don't tell.
Anyway. Which one? Which one?
The plug it. Now that I have a house, I could plug it in. Yay!
Oh,
I couldn't get it because I was in an apartment. And there aren't like charging stations yet in Petaluma. But, you know, you go to the Oakland airport, front row, there's like 10 charging stations. And there's never.
It would be.
Oh, yeah. And so this is a Fusion. It's a hybrid, plug-in hybrid. So it's an electric. You can use an electric or as a gas vehicle.
That's what I want. My problem is what I have to have is a plug-in hybrid four-wheel drive.
I'm sure that's going to happen. In fact, one of the things, and I'll ask when I'll talk to Alan Mulally in January, but one of the things he told me last year was that they delayed the electric vehicles because they want to make it so that their assembly lines all over the world can put in any drivetrain into any vehicle. So any vehicle on the same line can be made diesel, petrol, he calls it petrol, electric or plug-in or hybrid electric. And the reason being that they want to be able to elastically respond to demand.
Yeah.
Which makes perfect sense. So it's not just going to be like this special one car. It's going to be the whole line. So I guarantee you they'll have a four-wheel drive. Social.ford.com to find out more. I don't know. Who am I to guarantee you? I don't work for Ford. By senses. Google bomb. Google image search for completely wrong brings up Mitt Romney photos.
Mr. Romney.
Now, is this done in purpose or is this because that's what people are searching? Why?
I'm sure it's a Google bomb. I'm sure.
You don't think it's created that way?
No, yeah. I think Google made a statement saying that this was part of the way their algorithm
was. It was organic search.
He said that what he said was completely wrong. He used the phrase completely wrong, and there were all these news articles with completely wrong in the headline.
So he did it. He bombed himself?
He bombed himself. Yes. He bombed himself.
Yeah. A Google spokesman confirms this is not an intentional Google bomb. The search results for completely wrong are the natural result of a flurry of recent news articles associating Romney with the phrase completely wrong.
So now we have, probably if you look up a bad debater, you'll see Obama.
Yeah. You got to be careful what you say now, because the zeitgeist is reflected in Google search.
Yeah.
That's interesting, isn't it?
That is fun.
Yeah. We were talking on Security Now about NFC and Google Wallet, and we did a whole episode last week on Security Now, which if you're interested in NFC, you probably should listen to, about security implications of near-field communication. It is in every new Android phone has it. The iPhone is the glaring example of a phone that doesn't. It's kind of the last holdout on NFC. And Google with Google, you know, Apple hasn't put credit cards into Passbook, but Google has put credit cards into Google Wallet. I think Google's getting very close now to having a very credible tap-to-pay ecosystem, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now they're doing it for web content.
Yeah, this is interesting. I'm not sure how I feel about this.
How does it work?
So you hook it up to your web page. You say, this is pay for content. So when the user comes to your web page, they see like the first paragraph, they start to scroll down, and then a little Google Wallet pop-up comes up and says, hey, the rest of this page is hidden until you buy it. Like, pay 99 cents. Continue reading for 49 cents or 99 cents.
Is there a low? Oh, the range is 25 to 99 cents. So the low is 20. This was always the thought, was if we could only get micropayments working.
Let me be cynical for a rare moment. I'm never that way.
Mr. Pollyanna, yeah.
This is simply sucking butt to publishers. This is sucking up to them and saying, no, we're not ruining your business models. Look, we're enabling the long-fabled rescue of your beautiful content, micropayments. It's never going to work.
Here's the one thing I do like. There is a 30-minute refund window. So if you read the content. Well, 30
read
minutes
fast.
Is enough for almost any article, unless it's like a really long... Yeah. You know, a John Seabrook article. And if you didn't like it and you thought that wasn't worth 49 cents, you could get a refund. Huh. And once you pay for it, it's yours forever. I think this is a good... I don't think this is a bad idea.
Yeah, it's... I just have mixed feelings about it. I mean, I feel like if I started to read a really long feature article about something I was interested in and it was well-written and I was super intrigued... I would say, okay, you know, I'll pay. Like something like Narratively, right? That's Jeff. That was that project on Kickstarter. Like something sort of long form journalism. I'd be like, okay, yeah, I'll pay a buck to read the rest of this. Sure. That, you know, that's happened to me. I've hit paywalls before on different sites and thought, you know, whatever. But at the same time, and this is great for something like ThinkUp, you know, where we, you know, I'd love to do sort of in-app purchases kind of in a web app. There's a possibility there for us. At the same time, it feels a little bit like if I saw this, I'd be like,
well, here's an example.
I would just close the tab.
They actually have a link to Peach Pit Press, which publishes books. This is part of their book on Photoshop Elements, Chapter 11, Filters and Effects. So you go through it, and there's quite a bit of free content. I'm scrolling. And to change a panel view. Wait a minute. Continue reading for 99 cents. And then look what they do. It's redacted.
Yeah, it's redacted. Like the rest of the content, you can see sort of pixelated images and blacked out.
Like, here's
text.
What you would be getting if you weren't such a cheapskate.
or I'm going to do what I do next, which is go too far. But the problem here is that people in the content business think all of their value is in the content. And I argue that they're not even in the content business. That content's a tool to build relationships. There's other value to be had there. But that's heresy in my world. In my world, no, we make good content and people should pay for that content. So my fear about the Google Wallet thing is that it's going to lead them astray, just as tablets led them astray to think, oh, good, now we can make a magazine again. And they have to read in the order that we say, and none of these damn links.
Well, let them be led astray. The quicker they're led astray and the quicker they realize the failure of that, the quicker they'll move on to something else.
Well, we do have...
This way they don't have the fantasy that... gosh, if there were only some way we could conveniently easily charge for it.
I don't think we've mentioned this on the show, but 2 weeks ago, Murdoch, who had called, he and his minions had called Google parasites and all kinds of awful things, and he pulled Times of London content off of Google News, and I believe Google Search as well, and they came back on hands and knees and asked for it to go back.
We did mention that last week, and victory. Yeah. You declared victory.
Yeah, okay, sorry, I can't remember. That's age, Gina. You'll find this out.
But that's why it's good for them to try this. We're going to look. We're in the interregnum between these new media, and people need to figure it out and let them figure it. And, you know, if Google gives them a way to do it and it doesn't work, then they can say, hey, we tried it. I don't want them to fantasize that we could do it.
Yeah, that's the point.
Yeah, I mean, and for in this example, this Peach Pit, you know, an ebook kind of example is actually a pretty good example. I mean, when I did the Wave book, you know, we did the site where the whole book was basically available for free. This was something that maybe I would have done. Said, hey, support the project, give 99 cents.
Yeah, I get more. Not all content should be ad supported. Is that what you're advocating, Jeff? Free media.
No, not should be. Just saying that what people forget when it comes to charging people is that it also brings a marketing cost. It brings a customer service cost. It's not this Valhalla
right. That
says that, oh, if only they'd still spent this money. Because the fundamental economics have changed. We're in an abundance economy, not a scarcity economy anymore. And media people don't have pricing power.
Yeah, I don't want to see, you know, an ad for Taco Hut in my movies, in the middle of a movie. I hope you've enjoyed the first half of...
Well, the equivalent is you watch 10 minutes of Twig, and then it says, oh, would you like to see the rest just if they start...
Yeah, that makes me barf a little bit. That makes me not happy.
Well, I mean, but I've been on an airplane where you see the first 5 minutes of a movie, and then the sign comes up and says, hey, if you want to see the rest of this, swipe your card.
There is something bad about that. It feels like they tricked you a little bit, like teasing you. Plus, it's like a girl who wears a low-cut shirt. You know, it's just...
Oh, come on.
No, is that an inept?
A bit.
No, I hear you.
It's like when the crack dealer gives you your first pipe free. How about that?
Yes.
I know, I shouldn't have said it. I'm sorry. But that's, by the way, the only reason I said that is because I feel the same way in both circumstances.
Yeah.
I'm pulling out my shirt.
No, I mean, it's like, you know, it's a tease. It's like, look what we got. Oh, but you can't have it unless you...
Well, what really happened is then you'll start to change the way you create the content. So let's say that you had that 10-minute wall in Twig. At 9 minutes 30, we'd start doing the really good stuff.
Yeah.
As opposed to now,
we just do a lot of crap up front.
Right. We talk about our kids, and then we'd be like, okay, big Google news.
You know what it is? It's this. It's the handout. Give me a... I don't like that. For those of you watching, listening, not watching, I'm holding out my hand saying, give me money. I don't like that.
On a watch, you got to pay.
Yeah. I don't like that. It should be up front or nothing. Either it's ad-supported free media, or we tell you up front, hey, this is 99 cents, or you have to subscribe, and then we'll give it to you.
I'm fine with it existing. I think that's fine. I think there are uses for it. There'll be very good uses for it. My only fear is the delusion that it will bring to some old media companies. But as an alternative and a model, hallelujah.
I mean, Leo, do you feel the same way about, like, in-app purchases? You know, like...
Yes. So you I'm do. Playing this Simpsons game. Gosh darn it. I should never have gotten started. So I got rid of Wii Rule, right? But the Simpsons game, it's got the Simpsons in it. And so I'm playing this game and, you know, it's free. Right? It's from Electronic Arts. And so Homer has destroyed Springfield and you're rebuilding it. It's just it's Farmville, but it's just with the Simpsons. So it's kind of funny, you know, they get all the characters and they all talk and you... But to do anything really interesting, you know, I went to visit one of my friend's cities, and he's got all this stuff. He's got a burning tire yard. He's got a nuclear power plant about to explode. I'm so jealous because he bought donuts. There's a donut store, right? Now, I try to play. By the way, donuts are not cheap. A boatload, 2,400 donuts, $100.
No.
Well, you could spend that much. You don't have to. I mean, the lowest amount is you could spend $2, but you only get a dozen donuts. So The problem is this is a kind of an addictive, compelling game. It's pretty fun. But really, to get anywhere at any decent speed, you have to spend cash.
This is the fall of Western civilization.
I agree. Which part?
This is a really effective marketing technique. So, didn't you want to buy those donuts?
Spending $100 on fake donuts.
That's what built Zynga.
I know, exactly.
And I don't know why it's crashing, because it's such a good model. Oh. It's got me suckered in. And they add the social guilt component. Because your friends are playing with you, you can't withdraw. I don't know how I got suckered in it again. I was able to get out of Wii Rule, which was a very similar game on the iPad, because it was right about when the rapture was coming. So I just raptured everybody out of my farm, and I wrote a big raptured, and that actually got me out of the game. So we'll have to engineer another end of... Oh, December 21st, I'm saved. The Mayan calendar.
There you go.
So I'll be out of this game in December.
2012.
All right, let me buy some donuts.
Now, regardless of how you feel about it, Leo, it totally works.
It works.
It works.
Just saying. Google Chrome exploit fetches Pinkie Pie a $60,000 payday. I always wanted to say that.
Pinkie Pie.
Pinkie Pie. During the Ponium competition in March.
It was awesome.
He poned this computer and displayed the Pinkie Pie image and using a Chrome exploit, and a fix was released within 12 hours of the exploit. And this is why Google gives Pinkie Pie $60,000. She's a he. It's a he, apparently.
Yeah, and this is the second time he's
This
pwned.
Is the second time.
Yeah, yeah. So I think Jeff asked at one point, you know, could you make a living just
oh, yeah. Ask Dan Kaminsky.
Year, 60 grand. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's a salary.
So it was a Tuesday, the Hack in the Box 2012 security conference in Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia. It was the second installment of Ponium, and Pinkie Pie again, exploiting two vulnerabilities in Chrome, the first against the scalable vector graphics functions in the WebKit browser engine. So it's not Google's fault. Then the second... Oh, interesting. Pinkie Pie encountered a predicament. It's so tempting to alliterate the whole article at this point. I'm impressed that Dan Godin writing in Ars Technica did not, although I would have tried. All P's. Pinkie Pie's predicament is growing increasingly common among software exploiters. A security sandbox quarantined the HTML and other kinds of browser content, and Chrome had one. So all he could do was crash the machine, but that was enough. So they fixed it. So to work around this limitation and actually gain control of the system, because you got to pwn it if you want to own it, Pinkie Pie targeted a second bug in Chrome's inter-process communication layer. And because this is Chrome code, it wasn't sandboxed. And he got the $60,000 top prize. Google says, we'd like to thank Pinkie Pie for his hard work in assembling another great Ponium submission.
That's so great.
You must have a hacker handle, Gina.
Oh.
Come on.
I tell you, but then I have to kill you.
Okay. All right.
I could be Pinkie Pie.
Nobody, you could be Pinkie Pie.
Although I've already discussed my distaste for pink.
Edda is Pinkie Pie, exactly.
Edda is Pinkie Pie. Yeah, she came out with a GitHub account.
We mentioned a few months ago the Google artificial intelligence neural network that was able to recognize a cat face. Remember that? That was this past summer.
Yep.
They're actually going to use it. It's not just kind of some weird, you know, trick. They're going to use these neural networks to improve speech recognition. So that's kind of cool. Technology, you have both an Android. I guess it's only an Android, right? Google doesn't. Oh, no, they do that on the desktop and the browser, too. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I feel like so I guess they're using YouTube videos to show to increase the network's ability to recognize faces.
10 million images from YouTube videos.
It's incredible. I mean, given, you know, with Google Voice, with YouTube, with all the inputs that Google has.
Exactly.
You know, there's so much potential for that, for this to turn into, you know, for this this network to learn, you know, things. And I feel like this is just, this is all connected to Google Now and to Google Glass, right? Like this all kind of has to happen on the fly. Like I feel like this technology is all sort of connected. This is, they're trying to get this, you know, into the little computer on your eyes, so that it'll recognize people, that'll it'll behave, you know, the right way. It'll give you the information that you want.
Are we gonna look back 50 years from now and say, wow, we didn't see this coming? But when we throw all this data, this is big data. You know, mm-hmm. because we're uploading 24 hours of videos every minute to YouTube, Google can take 16,000 processors, 1,000 computers, and have them chew on all these images on YouTube and get smart.
This is the essence of Yuri Milner's investment strategy, is that he believes that you take artificial intelligence atop this kind of huge amount of data, and God knows what comes,
big
but he wants to be
data.
Here.
Yeah, I got to go to the Strata conference. That's the big data conference that O'Reilly does. They just have
the other thing I've been saying to newspaper companies I'm working with right now is that we get so enamored of talking about big data, and I have lots of people in the media business who need to start with small data. Like, where does this person live? What do they care about?
No,
they keep on thinking, oh, there'll be some big database that'll tell us everything we need to know. No. You get to start, and you need to build a little bit at a time.
Just because there's big data doesn't mean there can't be little data.
Yeah, I know.
Big data start from little data.
That's what I'm telling them.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And you got to figure out what to do with the data. I mean, you can collect the data, you can have access to the data, but it's figuring out what to do with it. And so you should start with the small stuff.
And just having data is expensive.
Well, look, we're talking to Ms. Big Data. I mean, isn't that what ThinkUp really is all about?
Yeah, I mean, ThinkUp definitely is about capturing data and figuring out what useful insights you can get from it. And we're still really kind of figuring that out. But yes, yeah.
And that's what business intelligence, BI, is all about, is you got all the data. How do you make sense of it?
Mm-hmm.
And then deliver in a pre-chewed Charlie way to the executive, who's a moron, something that they actually can use.
Right, right.
Pre-chewed data.
Pre-chewed. That's kind of gross.
Masticated.
Well, no, don't we say we digested it and we came up with this?
Mm-hmm.
The problem is if chewing's better, because if you digest it, the end result is not kind of really what you want.
Oh, too much poop in my life already.
Exactly. I'll tell you, put me off pumpkin pie for years.
No.
I'm
oh, man.
Sorry.
This is bad.
That was bad. That was bad. Facebook and Twitter may be asked by Great Britain to moderate their networks.
You're just doing this to get me angry.
I am. I was just going to say, Jeff.
I put it in there for that purpose, so it's masochism. It's there are a couple cases that just occurred in the UK where people were jailed, fined for saying things that were offensive. And here we are right back into the discussion about speech again, because if you start there with the idea that we're led by offense, and it becomes at first government's job to then wash our mouths out with soap and to make us fearful of what we say. And then if the next step is that they say, well, this is too hard for us to do, we're going to make it your responsibility, Google and Facebook and Twitter, to monitor what the entire world says, then we're in a heck of a pickle. And this is why we have in the U.S. not only a First Amendment, but our version of it online, Section 230, which is what exempts a site from liability for things that others create on it. But now this would turn around and it would make, you know, if Twitter is told that it could be sued for anything offensive said on it, then that's the end of its business.
So, okay, well, that's two different things, though. I mean, one thing is prosecuting people for things they say on Twitter. The other is prosecuting Twitter for things
that's
people
where,
say.
This is a 1-2 step, right? Where we are right now is prosecuting people for what they say on Twitter, which I think is bad enough and is a huge problem. And it's a precedent that they're just not aware of what's happening. And judges aren't getting social media and aren't getting the idea that this is not publication, this is conversation. This is the same as walking into your home and saying, we just heard you say something offensive.
Right.
And we're going to drag you off for it. Hello, Orwell, where'd he come from? So that's where it is now. But then the next step that's being discussed is, well, government can't do that, so we're going to make Twitter do it. Both are heinous.
You know, I got to point out, though, I mean, yes, this happened in the UK. This guy, Azhar Ahmed, made a comment on Facebook after the death of British soldiers in Afghanistan. He said all soldiers should die and go to hell. If a guy named Azhar Ahmed had said this in the United States, he'd be disappeared. In Britain, he got 240 hours of community service.
But we, in this country, to be serious about it, I would stand up for his right to say that.
Yeah, and I do. But I think the NDAA allows him to disappear, and I suspect that would be... I think we don't hear about these stories. I think it's happening in the U.S. We just don't hear about it because they disappear. And I'm not being frivolous. I really don't think...
Yeah, no, I know.
I think it's not... I think it's treated more seriously here. And I think that we know the NSA plans to monitor all electronic communications. They built that whopping great facility to do just that. So it's not just the UK, I guess is my point. And we certainly need to be paying attention to this.
Yep.
It's depressing.
It is depressing. But and the other thing is it said Facebook. Now, Twitter's one thing because that's public. You're saying it out loud. But Facebook, isn't he just saying it to his friends?
Well, it's some version of a public, right? It's some set of people.
Yeah.
Same with Google Plus, right? I might say it to a group, but that is.
So how are they seeing it?
Well, I mean, he could have
He could have subscribers. It could be
subscribers
public,
enabled,
right.
and Twitter. Also,
I'd like to know more about that. Actually, I'd like to know, for instance, if this was a public account, and a public posting or not.
Right.
And what's the difference between that and the end and Yahoo diming a user in China for saying something the Chinese government didn't like?
Right.
Right. To make offensive the rule, well, it could be offensive to Chinese orthodoxy. It could be offensive to some group in the UK. It could be offensive to the U.S. government. I don't give a damn. It's just words.
Yeah.
And this goes straight into the damned video. And into that idea that we have to recognize that we're going to get more and more speech. And if we can't figure out how to live with that, then we got a problem.
You remember the couple who came to the United States, the British couple who came to the United States, and they posted they were going to dig up Marilyn Monroe or something like that. and then this kid, actually, this is pretty offensive what he said, but he posted offensive comments on Facebook about a missing child, and he got 12 weeks of jail in the UK.
Yeah, which was terribly offensive. I will not question that, but is that worth jail? Is that what the hell was society harmed by that? Don't we all know he's a dork? Don't we all know he's ridiculous?
He was originally arrested for his own safety. About 50 people actually went to his house. They were so upset. But wait a minute.
I'll admit that I didn't see the story, and I'm trying to figure out what exactly he said. These were sexual
comments. They actually
charged
him with child abduction. Because he was talking about a child abduction in an offensive way. That's going a little far.
Yep.
He said he did it in a bid to make people think his account had been hacked. He'd been drinking at a friend's house. Ay, ay, ay.
He was an idiot.
He's an idiot. Obviously he's an idiot.
Yeah.
We all know that. So we don't need the society to protect us from every idiot.
Right.
That we're idiots because we can't tell who the idiots are.
Yeah. Let's take a break. I think, is there any other, there's so much more, and I don't want to slight any story. Facebook is testing a want button.
Oh, boy.
I want a do not like button. That would have solved that problem. Just everybody goes, do not like you. You're wrong.
I am completely ambivalent about this piece of content.
Yeah, I couldn't care less. Don't bother me anymore.
The couldn't care less button.
have you played the Facebook Chairs commercial?
Let's play it. The things that connect us: chairs, doorbells, bridges, and airplanes, according to Facebook. So we're all sitting on our collective United States porches.
Chairs.
We're all sitting.
Chairs
on
are made so
chairs.
That people can sit down and take a break.
All over the world.
Anyone can sit on a chair. And if the chair is large enough, they can sit down together. And tell jokes. Or make up stories. Or just listen.
What the hell?
No.
Chairs are for people. And that is why chairs are like Facebook.
What?
Doorbells. What? Airplanes. Bridges. These are things people use to get together so they can open up and connect.
And they're like Facebook too?
And music. And other things that people share.
Yeah.
Oh, this is weird.
Facebook is love.
Basketball. A great nation.
Are they going to show this on TV?
A great nation is something people build so they can have a place where they belong.
That's like Facebook.
The universe.
It's like Facebook.
It is vast and dark.
Like Facebook.
And makes us wonder if we are alone.
Like Facebook.
So maybe the reason we make all of these like things is to remind ourselves that we are not.
Oh,
now, there's, I don't know if you want to play it, Leo. There's a parody if you look it up.
Oh, boy.
Like the toilet.
Oh, okay. All right. I don't know if I... There's actually quite a few parodies. This kind of...
A lot of parodies.
This kind of begged to be parodized. It is, in fact, it might be a parody of itself.
Exactly. The parody is now redundant.
Yeah. That is just wild. All right, I have to skip this Chicago Fire ad. See, the Facebook ad didn't have an ad on it. Now, we're probably going to get pulled from Google because of this.
Toilets.
This is gross.
Toilets are made so that people can sit down and take a
Sorry.
Anyone can sit on a toilet.
They're sitting on a toilet together. She's on it with him. And they're laughing. Toilets are like Facebook.
There we go.
Okay, dokie. Febreze. Awesome. Febreze is like Facebook. Wow. Okay.
Wow.
We'll bleep the S.
Sorry about that. Yeah, I forgot that was in there.
Oh, come on.
So great. So great. I think we've gone. This episode has just really gone from
everything. Poop.
We've run the gamut.
Yeah, and we keep going back for some reason.
From poop to low cut shirts to toilets are like Facebook.
I'm sorry about that low cut. Everybody seems to think that was a very offensive thing to say. I'm sorry. I'm just. I guess I'm. I'm a sexist pig. But I just. To me, I didn't say a woman in a low cut shirt. It could be a guy. With a little cornu chain around his neck.
Somebody take the shovel away from the poor man.
Yeah. Seriously. It's okay, Leo. You're okay. You're okay.
You put up with an awful lot for me, Gina, and I'm so sorry. I just want you to know it's because I'm like Facebook.
It's because you're like Facebook.
Leo is like Facebook. Oh, God, okay. Chat room, make it better.
I think there's a video there somewhere. We're going to take a break. Yes. When we come back, we will get our... tip. If we haven't given away all our tips.
We got one more left.
We're going to have our tip tool apology and number of the week.
And my apology of the week. You know, that's what I should do. Maybe every week, this should be the place where I take some time to apologize for the way I am. This show brought to you by Stamps.com. No apologies for them. They're making it possible for you never to go to the post office again. And guess what? The post office likes it. They like it. Stamps.com lets you print official U.S. postage. Sorry to say, U.S. postage. This is U.S. only. You've got to ask your federal government for something like this. You should, because it's great. You print official U.S. postage with your computer, your printer. You don't need a postage meter. That's so last century. You don't need special ink or anything. Just what you got at Stamps.com. And then the mail carrier comes to your house Monday through Saturday and picks it up. In fact, you can even schedule free pickups in addition. Packages, everything. Stamps.com. They save you money, too. The U.S. Postal Service likes Stamps.com so much they offer discounts you cannot get at the post office on international mail, on express mail, priority mail. But now here's the thing. If you go to... there's an actual customer. If you go to... Sorry, we saw her. There she is. If you go to Stamps.com, you'll see a special offer that you may be very tempted to take for $80, but don't. Click the radio microphone and enter the offer code TWIG. Not TWIT. No, backspace one. TWIG. There you go. Press go. We don't want those. We don't want that Javorak guy to get credit for this. This is Jeff and Gina's show. Now, you're going to get a $110 bonus offer. They upped the amount of postage, free postage, at $55. You get that USB scale, which is really great. Weighs anything from an envelope to a 25-pound package and prints exactly the right postage. They, by the way, they also print the mailing label and everything. And if you use QuickBooks or if you're an Amazon or eBay or Etsy seller, it'll get the data from the website and print that with the postage. You can even print right on the envelope the address, the return address, the postage, your business logo, the whole thing. All through stamps.com. We're huge fans. Get a 4-week trial, $110 value right now. Go to stamps.com, click the microphone, the Get Started microphone, and enter the offer code TWIG so you can get this special offer. It's a double special offer. It's like a low cut. Never mind. Stamps.com. There's no tease here. This is the real deal. Gina Trapani, our tip of the week.
Tip of the week. This is kind of a cool little thing in Google Docs. You can select mat text that's formatted like the text you have highlighted. So this is just bear with me for a second.
Select
so you've written a document and you've bolded a bunch of headers, or you've italicized some block quotes and throughout the entire thing. And then you decided, you know what, I want to change the way my headers look. I want to change the font. I want to make it bold instead of italic, or vice versa. You can select text and then from the context menu say select matching text. So you can reformat all the text whose formatting matches. Now it's kind of deep and crazy, but it sounds, I mean, it's really, really neat little trick when you've got long documents that are formatted and you've got headers and
that's
and
really interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
That's Microsoft Office quality stuff.
It is. That's Microsoft Office level feature right there. You always think about Google Docs as sort of the light version. That's pretty cool. So you can switch up your formatting throughout your document really quickly by just applying changes across selected text that all has the same format.
Very nice. Very nice feature. Your number of the week, my friend.
Well, we did have 10 million tweets during the debate last week, most of which were liberals like me saying, oh, no, but we'll go past that real quickly. and then
they most of the tweets were aimed at Obama saying, wake up, wake up.
Look at us.
Wake up. You know, somebody was telling me, though, that their tweet stream, and I didn't watch the debate, but that they were watching the tweet stream, and they were getting sponsored Mitt Romney posts saying, here's an extra link, here's some more information, throughout the debate, which I thought was a very interesting way to use sponsored tweets.
Well, I believe I heard that the PBS bought Big Bird sponsored tweets, but I'm not sure.
That would be a good idea.
I'm pixelated. God knows why.
Well, it's probably us. I'm downloading a lot of mail right now.
So Gizmodo has a whole bunch of crazy Facebook stats. In addition to their huge number of members now, there are 1.13 trillion likes. 140.3 billion friend connections.
Wow.
Therein lies the essence of Facebook. 219 billion photos. I found it interesting that the median age, I thought Facebook had grown up and gotten all old. The median age is still 22. And finally, of the 1 billion members, there are 600 million mobile users, which is very impressive.
I am shocked at the median age number.
I was too. I thought Facebook
was like the iPhone. It was for mom and dad now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised by that, too.
But, you know, who knows who's joining in India? You know, it could be 14-year-olds. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, it must be, because I think in the U. Don't you get the sense in the U. I mean, everybody uses Facebook, kids and the grown-ups. But that means the median age would be older, I would think.
Right.
Especially since you can't join until you're 13.
Right.
Boy, it just feels like something that is mostly used by adults to keep track of their high school sweetheart. There should be a phrase. Is there a phrase for nostalgic longing for your high school sweetheart? Like, no, just me.
But that might be it. That might be the phrase.
The Germans have a word for it, I'm sure, but we just...
Sure. It's something to do with the prom night.
Dr. Mom says it's called senility, Leo. But I really do think that that's a lot of what Facebook is used for. Say, where are they now? Oh, I really liked her. I wonder what would have happened if, you know, we... I don't know.
I must be the mean one because I'm like, oh, look, that one got fat. That
yeah.
one was just going.
Well, there was somebody's Web 4675 is pointing out there's a great Louis C.K. Episode about that. He actually finds his old Facebook flame and she did get fat. It's actually really that is such a good show.
It is. I'm sad it's on hiatus.
It's so honest.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know if I said this in the show before. I found two old flames and they're both lesbians.
Some might see. No, you've never said that.
Jeff, yep. I knew I liked you. That's good.
He likes lesbians.
No, you can take that one way or you can take that the Howard Stern way, whichever you prefer.
Well, there's a third way you could take it, that you scared them off men forever.
That wasn't the last
That's the third one.
You know, the way that I take it, I find that a lot of the male friends that I have had this experience where like an old girlfriend or something. I take it as that you're caring feminist. That's how I take it.
Yes.
That my people are attracted to.
We've got a name for the show, by the way. Jeff, Don Cornelius suggests we call this show Jeff Jarvis, Lesbian Whisperer.
Lesbian Whisperer.
I prefer honorary lesbian.
Honorary lesbian.
And you guys are giving me a hard time because I said low cut shirt. That's nothing. Nothing. So I was talking about rooting and hacking my Galaxy S3, and I've mentioned this before. This has been a pick before, but I just got to mention it again because people always say, well, how do you do it? How do you do it? Rooting your phone is almost, unless you've got a Motorola phone, it's almost really trivially easy. But you got to look up the instructions for your phone specifically. But that's the hardest part about putting a different firmware on your phone, because once it's rooted, sky's the limit. And there's a couple of programs you absolutely have to get. So I'm not going to tell you how to root it because, unfortunately, it is kind of, specific to your phone. So just XDA developers or somewhere, look it up. But once you've got it rooted, there are two programs you're absolutely going to want. In fact, by themselves, they're the reasons to root your phone. One is Titanium Backup, which backs up not only every application on your phone, but all the settings. So if you need to blow the phone out or you lose your phone or whatever, Titanium Backup will actually upload it to Dropbox for you automatically. And once it does that, you never have to worry because you can restore your phone and its apps and its settings, all those settings, all the Google secondary password BS is all restored, which is very nice. So this by itself is a reason to root, Titanium Backup. I think it's free, and then if you want the pro version, it's a couple of bucks. And then the other program that if you want to go to the next level and start putting some of the other custom firmwares on there is ROM Manager from Clockwork Mod. And it gets better and better all the time. Premium version, worth it, and I pay for it, is $5.99. And it lets you basically, I'll show you real quickly, once you've rooted your phone. By the way, it stays rooted, so I just blasted this phone back to the original Galaxy S3 software. But if I want to, I can go right to Clockwork Mod, and it makes it so easy. Have you used this, Gina, to root your phone or to?
I haven't. I've been trying to stay on this non-rooting just to kind of have the regular experience, but this is tempting.
See, I don't want to do TouchWiz. If you got a Nexus, you're fine, but I have the Galaxy S3. So you can go to all the ROMs, including the Cyanogen Mod Nightlies, if you really want to live on the bleeding edge. These are literally updated almost every single day. So the most recent one is October 10th. And this is how easy it is. By the way, always read this looks good. 4.12, very nice. All right, let's do it. So I press download. Do you want the Google Apps? Checkbox, yes. It's now going to download the ROM. If you don't get a download error, it will. And then you just reboot and install it, and it couldn't be easier. So once you have rooted your phone, there's two things you should have. One is Titanium Backup because it's the best backup. It has to be root because it can't back up all those settings and stuff unless it's an administrator. And then if you really want to live on the edge, play with ROM Manager, and you can get the Jelly Bean. You can do anything. A couple of tools that are handy for anybody who wants to hack their Android phone. Gina Trapani is the author of Think Up at ThinkUp.com. She's a part of Expert Labs along with Anil Dash. Is he your boss or your partner?
He's my partner. We're actually not Expert Labs anymore. We're just ThinkUp. We incorporated and we're partners. Yeah, so we're co-founders. Thank you. Thank
That's
you.
Great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Thank you.
And of course, her blog is smartaware.org. Do you have baby pictures up on your blog?
I don't yet. I've been slacking. I have to do the Etta blog post, but I've been putting baby pictures up on Flickr.
Good. But you do have to-do.txt there, and that's a really great text-based to-do list that's available on Android and iOS.
Yes.
Soon tablet-enabled.
Yeah, soon tablet-enabled. In between feedings.
They want me to do the Cyanogen live. I will start it now, and we'll continue into triangulation. By the way, our guest will be Throwboy, the guy who makes these great icon pillows, including our Twit pillow. It's an interesting story. We'll talk to Throwboy in just a bit. And yeah, I'll keep the roming going. We're so close to getting our elemental that will make our streaming better. I want you to look at our new Twit, one of a kind. This is going to be offered for two more days, and that'll be it. Teespring is the company doing these, and they make really nice ones out of American Apparel and Fruit of the Loom. TeeSpring.com/Twit for the 2012 season of Twit is on here. And they're all memorial. That's on the back and on the front. Just a very subtle twit.tv. We've got all kinds of sizes, men's, women's, programmers, the whole thing. And we've already sold 2,200 T-shirts, which is great. I didn't think we'd break 1,000. So that's two more days, though. And as soon as we hit that deadline, that's when they print them. They're silkscreen. They're beautiful, really nice T-shirts. And so we haven't seen them yet. We'll all see them at the same time. They'll start shipping.
I'm getting my credit card out as we
speak. It's $20. It's worth it. It's a good cause. It helps us. I think we're going to do special one-of-a-kind items every month. Won't
that's
be
a
T-shirt next time. And I'll let you know what the money's going to go to. In this case, we've raised enough money, I believe, for the Elemental. So I'm very excited about that.
Very cool. Checking out with PayPal.
I think a Twit fleece would be nice.
We are talking with Scott Evest. Absolutely, a Twit fleece would be great. We're also talking about hats, mugs.
Yeah.
Anything you want, you let us know.
I think we need a low-cut top.
A special Twit low-cut top. I'm going to do that. Special cleavage
Steve
edition.
Leo. Sorry, Leo. I had to catch you.
Jeff Jarvis does his thing at buzzmachine.com. He's also a professor of journalism. If you're lucky enough to go to the City University of New York, take a class from a guy who knows a little bit about that stuff. And he joins us along with Gina every week to talk about Google on This Week in Google. Every Wednesday, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern time. Right now, that's 2000 UTC, but we're going to have a time zone change pretty soon. You know, summertime's going to end pretty soon, so that'll change. But right now, you can watch it at 2000 UTC on twit.tv. And if you don't get to watch live, no sweat, no fear, no problem. All you got to do is download audio or video after the fact at twit.tv/twit. Thanks for being here. And we'll see you next time on This Week in Google.